this morning. Again, it is a pleasure to be here. How unworthy I feel to stand in this sacred place today. My heart goes out to the brother that just gave the testimony. I'm on the other end of that. I'm a son that has a father that needs to be saved. And I know the heartbreak that it is, brother. But we know that God is gracious and God is merciful. That He is a long-suffering God. And He is a God of salvation, and we thank the Lord for that. The brother was talking about the invitation there just a few minutes ago about sometimes not giving the invitation. You know, sometimes God shows up, and sometimes He tells you to give an invitation even before a message is being preached. Brother Kenan Rohr, I don't know if you remember, but he was preaching a revival service for me just a few years ago. And the Lord impressed upon my heart at the beginning of that service, even before Brother Kenan got in the pulpit to preach, the Lord said, "You need to give an invitation." And I'm like the box, "Well, Lord, what do you mean an invitation? We haven't even started the service yet." But the Lord said, "Give an invitation." So I did. I told the church, I said, "I feel like the Lord wants to give an invitation." So we presented the invitation. Didn't anyone come at that time? And Brother Kenan got up, preached the message, and at the end of that message, we extended another invitation. There was a young man that got up just as soon as the song began to sing. He got up and he was almost ran down that aisle. And he said that was for me. He said, "I didn't hear a word of that message that the Lord was dealing with his heart the whole time because he was under conviction." And that young man now, he got saved that day, and the Lord has called him to preach, and he's preaching pastoring Shady Grove Baptist Church. But turn with me to 2 Chronicles in chapter number 29 tonight. 2 Chronicles, or this evening, 2 Chronicles chapter number 29.
The brother played a message about a frog another night with the frogs. Other night, I feel like I have one in my throat this morning.
2 Chronicles chapter 29, would you stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word? Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourself, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel." Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thy presence right now, Lord, again. We are humbled, Lord, to stand in this sacred place. Lord, in this holy place, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You
Send your Son on the old rugged cross, Lord, that He shed His blood that we might have eternal life. We thank You, Lord, that You are a merciful God. We thank You, Lord, that You are a gracious God. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are a God of help in our times of trouble, Lord, and we thank You for that. Lord, we come before You right now. We pray, Lord, for that unction from the Holy One. This morning, Lord, has already been made mention. Lord, if You don't show up, then Lord, there's nothing that'll be done. And Lord, we pray right now that You bless the reading of Your Word. I pray, Lord, everything's said and done, bring honor and glory to Thy name. This morning, we pray, Lord, that You would show up. We pray, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, that You would encourage us, Lord, if there's some area in our life, Lord, that needs to be addressed. Lord, we pray that You would help us, Lord, that we would do that is right in Your sight. We pray right now, Lord, You go with us. Lord, we pray You forgive us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Amen. As the brother was just talking there about our nation, and I feel even oftentimes in our churches there's some things there that need to be addressed. As we see here in verse number 3 there, it talks about Hezekiah and how he repaired the doors there to the house of the Lord. We know Hezekiah here, he followed a wicked king, Ahaz there. Ahaz, he didn't do that was right in the sight of the Lord. King Ahaz done that wicked, and King Ahaz done that was evil, and he had shut up the doors of the house of God, and he'd taken away the order that God had placed there in the order of worship that God had set up there in the house of God. King Ahaz, he'd shut all that up, but he had passed away and he'd gone on. And it said King Hezekiah he began to rule there in Israel. And verse 2 said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And you know, you and I, each and one, every one of us, that we would do that what was right in the eyes of the Lord, no matter what is in the right of the eyes of the community, and not what is right in the eyes of each and every other one in organizations and this and that, that we would do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And that's what King Hezekiah did here. He done that what was right in the sight of the Lord. But we're going to look at some things here as he opened up this door in verse number 3 there, the door of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. I'm assured in my heart today, as I was about 10 months between pastors, between churches, and I went from church to church, I preached just about every Sunday at some church, and the more I went to different churches, the more that I was assured that there were some repairs that needed to be made in the house of the Lord. You know what our churches are revolved around? You know what most churches are geared to today? Most churches are geared toward entertainment. That's what people desire today. That's what they want today. They want to be entertained. They're not worried about hearing a word from the Lord. They're not worried about being right with God. They're not worried about doing that is right in the sight of God. All they want to do is to be entertained. And that's what our churches, most of our churches, I don't believe this church is that away, but the majority of the churches today are geared toward entertainment. I think about a cruise ship. I've never been on a cruise ship, but they tell me that those things are geared toward entertainment, and said you can eat anytime you want to. Just go down and get you something to eat anytime you want to. I believe our churches today are kind of like the cruise ship that I hear about. They're geared toward this entertainment, and they want to be entertained. Amen. I think about the ship Titanic, and everyone knows about the old ship Titanic. Back in her days, was the greatest ship that was supposedly ever built. Said that she was unsinkable, she couldn't be sank. And her maiden voyage, she went out, and she was on her trip there. She run into an iceberg there, and as she began to go down, I dare say that each and every one of those passengers on that Titanic, they wasn't worried about those eloquent chandeliers that was on that cruise ship. I dare dare say they wasn't worried about that eloquent food that they had there when that old ship began to sink and as she was going down and as that water began to flood into that ship. I dare say they were more worried about those lifeboats that were hanging around there, and it said that there was not enough lifeboat for all of those people to get in, and I dare say they were more worried about that than they were the entertainment. I believe that we, our churches today, that we need to be lifeboats, amen, instead of those cruise ships, instead of worrying about entertaining people, amen, instead of worrying about suiting their fancies. I believe that we need to be those life ships, telling about the love and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on that cross of Calvary, that we might have eternal life, that He shed His blood, amen, that we might receive that forgiveness of sin. I believe there's some repairs that need to be made in our houses of God today. And we can see one of those there as we begin and look in verse number 7. That as we look at our houses of worship today, the houses of God where God has placed His name today, as we look at these today, there may need to be some repairs in our houses of worship today. Look there in verse number 7, down by the middle part of that verse. It said, also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering. I see something here in that verse. There may be some repairs that needed in our houses of God today. We need to get back to houses of prayer. Amen. I believe we have gotten away from prayer. We've talked about prayer here just today and the importance of prayer and what God can do in and through prayer. I believe maybe that's a something that needs to be repaired. We need to get back to the houses of prayer. You know, Jesus, when He came into Jerusalem there and some things was going on in the house of God that should not be going on there, He told them, said, my house to be called a house of what? He said, a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. I believe that we need to get back to being houses of prayer. Amen. Instead of a lot of this that's going on today, we need to get back to the houses of prayer. We talk about invitation. We'll get up and we'll preach our hearts out sometimes, knowing that God has given us a message and laid on our heart, and we get up and preach that message, and we do extend that invitation. But oftentimes people are not concerned about that. Oftentimes they won't come down to an old-fashioned altar and shed those tears and pray to God as God convicts their heart. Amen. We have gotten away from that many times, and again, I've been in many churches preaching there, and you give that invitation, not anyone come to the altar and offer up a petition to God, pray for somebody that's lost. No doubt they have lost loved ones, no doubt they have lost a family member, but they still won't come to the altar and lift up their name in prayer. I believe we need to get back to the houses of prayer. We think about old Hezekiah here, how he was the king. You can read on in the Word of God about old Hezekiah. There was one time, one instance, Hezekiah, there was a messenger came to him. The king of Assyria said that he was going to come down and he was going to take over that land there. And a messenger brought a letter to Hezekiah. You know what the Bible said Hezekiah done with that letter? He didn't know what to do. He knew that that king of Assyria was right. He knew the king of Assyria was more powerful than he was, and he didn't know what to do. The Bible said that when he received that letter, he didn't know what to do. But you know what he did? He brought it down there and said, and he laid it out at the house of the Lord. He said he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out there at the Lord. At the house of the Lord. What did he do? He went and prayed about it. Why? Because he knew that it was bigger than he was, but he knew that it wasn't bigger than God. Amen. So you and I, we have problems today. We go through trouble today. But let me tell you, we still serve the same God that Hezekiah served today, and we can still bring it to the house of God today and spread it out before Him today. Oh, Hezekiah, there was another instance there. Hezekiah, the Bible said that he was sick to death. The Lord sent a prophet Isaiah down to Hezekiah and said, you need to get your house in order. He said, son, you're fixing to leave this walk of life. Oh, Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall, the Bible said. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed to God. And you know what God did? Because Hezekiah came to him again in prayer, he said he added 15 years to his life. Folks, we need to get back to houses of prayer. We need to get back to our prayer life. And I dare say if each and every one of us would search our heart, we would dare say that our prayer life is not what it would be, or not what it should be, or not what it could be. Amen. We need to get back to houses of prayer. We see something else there in that verse number 7, back up the first part of that verse. It said, also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps. As I thought about those lamps there, as you think about the tabernacle or the temple there when they had the golden lampstand there. But as we see here, the house of God said the lamps has gone out. I think about these lights here and when the electricity goes out, how they dim and how they go out. And I believe in our churches today, and again, not all churches, but the majority of our churches today, I believe there's some repairs that need to be made. And I believe we need to get back to houses of power. Amen. You know, it wasn't just about a little less than a year ago. We had an ice storm here in the area, and we lost power, and we done everything that we could. Boy, we were scurrying around and trying to get generators, and we were trying to get gas to put in those generators that we might get just a little power. We knew that we weren't going to get the full amount, the full wattage, or the full voltage, but we were doing all that we could just to get a little bit of power that we might have, just a light or two. But I believe that our churches today, we have lost that power, but we're not so much concerned about that. We're not even trying to get a little bit of power, amen? We're just going about, we're not concerned about the loss of the power that we have in our churches today. I believe we need to be just like we was back a few months ago, when we didn't have that electricity, and boy, we were doing all we could to get that power. You and I in our churches today, we need to be doing what we can to get back to the power of God. If God doesn't show up, it's already been made mention, if God doesn't do anything, there's not anything going to be done. But we've gotten away from the power of God. We've got into our plan, we've got into our parties, we've got into our program, and we've left God out of it, amen. We need to get back to His power, amen. There's some repairs that need to be made in the house of God. We need to get back to His power. Amen. You know, there was one instance there. The brother preached out a book of Luke in chapter 5. You go on down there. It said there was a certain day when Jesus was there. And it said the Pharisees was there and the doctors of law were there. And it said, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Folks, you and I need the power of the Lord present. Because if His power is not here, there's no spiritual healing going to be done. Amen. There's no physical healing going to be done. We need the power of God in our churches today. Amen. You know, you go on to read there in that chapter. It talked about there was four men there. They bore one that was sick of the palsy. There was one paralyzed. He couldn't get around. And these four, they brought him there to where Jesus was, where Jesus was teaching. And it said there was a multitude. And they couldn't get this one that was sick of the palsy to where Jesus was. And it said they didn't give up. What you and I oftentimes, what we want to do, we'll make an effort sometimes. You know, sometimes we'll try and we'll put forth a little bit of effort. But when we run into opposition, when we run into the multitude, and let me tell you, you're going to run into a multitude. You do the will of God. If you follow the Lord, you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're going to run into a multitude. Just don't give up. Do like these four did. They said, well, we can't get there this way. So what did they do? They went up on the roof. They tore a hole there in the roof and they let that one that was sick of the palsy right down to where Jesus was. Why? Because they knew that the power of the Lord was there. They knew Jesus could help this one. You and I need to do that. I'm here to tell that He still has that power today. We just need to get them to Him, amen. Just get them to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, where the power is present. You know, Jesus, it talked about one time that He went back to His hometown where He grew up. And it said that He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The very place that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up, the very place that everyone knew Him, was the place that He didn't do
many mighty works. Said he laid his hand on a few sick folks and healed them. But you see, there was an opportunity there, as the brother preached about. God wanted to do so much more there. But because of their unbelief, he didn't do many mighty works. And folks, I'm convinced that in the day and the hour that we live in our churches today, the reason God is not doing more that He wants to do, it's not because He doesn't have the power, and it's not because He don't want to, it's because of our unbelief. Amen. Our unbelief. As I think about that, as he went to his hometown, again, where he grew up, when supposedly most of the folks there knew him, was the very place that he couldn't do the works. And we come to our houses of the Lord, the place where people are supposed to know who Jesus is, the place where people are supposed to know what the Lord will do and can do, is the very place that he does not do what he wants to do. Why? Again, to talk about there. Because we limit the Holy One of Israel. I'm convinced that we need to get back. Maybe some repairs that need to be made in our houses of worship. We need to be houses of prayer and houses of power. But we see something else in verse number 11 there that may need to be repaired. It said, verse 11 there, it said, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense." Speaking of the priest there, you see, God chose these priests. He chose the one to go in to minister before Him. Again, already been made mention today, God is the one that chooses people to preach, men to preach. You know, I didn't choose to be a preacher, amen. If I had my choice, I'd still be in the coal mine, amen. But God chose me. I don't know why. I'm like John and Peter, I believe it was. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and that's the way I am. I'm not very intelligent. I'm not very smart. And I don't understand why God called me to preach, amen. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He called me to preach. You see, He's the one that does the calling. He called the priest here. And I think maybe what some of the churches today need is some repairs that need to be made. As the brother already made mention, it's right here behind the pulpit. You know, most of the churches, the majority of churches today, they don't want preachers, amen. You know what they want? They want puppets on the string. They want to pull a string and see if the preacher, how high he can jump or what he can do. They don't want a preacher that'll preach the Word of God. They don't want to stand or have someone that'll stand and preach, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. They want a puppet on the string there. But look back up in verse number 5 about these Levites and these priests. Verse 5, and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites," said, "sanctify now yourself." We preachers, we need to take heed to that. We need to sanctify ourselves, amen. We need to get right with God, that God might speak to us. If God doesn't speak to us, then we can't speak to His people. We need to sanctify ourselves. But look what it said. He goes on there, told them to sanctify themselves. Sanctify yourself. And sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Then he said in the last part of that verse, he said, "And carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place." You know what's wrong with a lot of preachers today? They are not willing to carry forth the filthiness out of the house of God. They're more worried about their paycheck. They're more worried about somebody talking about them than they are being right with the Lord, doing what is right in the sight of God. They're more worried about the things of the world than they are the things of God. They know that, again, if we talk about, they know they're going to come up against that multitude if they go to carrying forth that filthiness, that trash out of the house of God, that they're going to run into opposition. We need preachers today, and there's many of them, I dare say, that's in this building today that preach the Word of God,
that have the backbone to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," that'll carry forth that filthiness out of the house of God. You know, the reason our country is in the shape she's in today is because our churches are in the shape that they're in today, because there's so much filth in our churches today. Amen. People don't know right from wrong anymore. They don't know what is sin. They think if they want to do it, then it's all right. No matter what the church said, no matter what the Word of God said, if I want to do it, then it's all right. There's some repairs that may need to be done, and it may be in the preaching of the Word of God. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he told him to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He said the day was going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And folks, you and I are in that day. People are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to endure the Word of God, especially when it goes against what they are doing in their life, the sin that's in their life. They're not going to go for that. They're going to buck on that. They're going to do everything they can do to get rid of that preacher. Amen. We need some repairs in the house of the Lord. And it may be preaching. But we see one other thing over in verse number 30. There in 2 Chronicles 29. Well, let's just back up and read verse 28 through 30. And all the congregation worshipped. And the singers sang. And the trumpeter sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. We can't even get them to come to the house of God 1 hour. On Sunday morning, it's hard to get folks to come to show up just for 1 hour on preaching service on Sunday morning, much less come for Sunday school, come back on Sunday night, come back on Wednesday night, come back on the night you have prayer meeting, come back on visitation. They want to continue until the burnt sacrifice is done. They just want to show up, make their appearance. But it said this congregation here said they worshiped. And when they had made an end of offering the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. I'm convinced in the majority of our churches today, we need to get back to houses of praise, praising the Lord. And I'm not talking about some of this superficial stuff. I'm not talking about some of this made-up stuff that goes on today. I'm talking about worshiping, praising the Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today, praising Him. Today, as said, they done it with gladness there. Boy, we come to our churches a lot of time. We open up the hymn book and say, we're going to sing this song. Or let's sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And we'll sit there on our pews and, "Oh, I love Jesus." Not with gladness.
Right.
Rejoicing in the heart. Because we don't have to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Because He washed our sin as white as snow. We don't sing. We don't praise Him with that joy that we should have in our heart. Oftentimes we think we deserve it. God owes us something. He ought to feel privileged that I showed up today. We need to get back to praising Him. Just as Hezekiah and these and all the congregation praised the Lord there for who He was and for what He had done. The Bible tells us that we should show forth the praises of Him that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Bible tells us that we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Turn over to 2 Chronicles in chapter number 20. Second Chronicles in chapter number 20. I'm not preaching anything that you all haven't preached, and I'm not preaching anything that you don't know this morning. But I want you to see the importance of praise. As we look here in 2 Chronicles, and chapter number 20, and begin in verse number 21, as we're thinking about King Jehoshaphat here, and he came up against another great company there. As King Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, but he told the Lord, said, "Lord, my eyes are going to be up on you." And the Lord told him that the battle was not his, and to set himself and see the salvation of the Lord. But let's look at the importance of praise. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, look at verse 21. It said, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." Did you see something there? That these singers and the one that were appointed to praise God, that they went out before the army? Now, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, if I was going out to war and if I was going out to battle and knowing I was facing a great army and a multitude there, I'd want my most mighty warriors out there in front. But God wanted them to send forth the ones that sing and praise. And look what happened. Look what happened. It said, "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord," or "sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." When? When they began to praise the Lord, amen. When they went out before the army, that we come in here, amen. We come in, and it's time for us to sing and praise God before the army. We're going to go out there. We're going to face the multitude. We're going to face that great company out there. We need that time of refreshing. We need that time of strength, amen, as we go out, that time of encouragement, and said, God took care of them. He smote them, or they were smitten before God. There may be some repairs that need to be made in our lives before we're going to be right in the sight of the Lord. We're going to have to do what God tells us to do, what God leads us to do, as we've already talked about here this morning.